Okay, today is Daf Chav Ches, and we are up to the Mishnah on Chav Zayin and Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday we spoke about the Rashi, about Achshavei. That was the end of the Daf yesterday, and now we're up to the Mishnah. Ein Nimnin. So the rest of the Perek, we're going to talk about various halachos that have to do with Kavod Yantif and Uvdin Dechol and Zilzal of Yantif regarding buyers and sellers, as we will see. Says the Mishnah, a nimna mala behema lechachila biyantif. If we'll see exactly what this means in the Gemara, but we're going to see that it means one cannot when one goes to a butcher on yantif. Let's say the butcher has the animals and the butcher shechts the animals, he's going to sell them. You're not allowed to exact the price explicitly from him on yantif. Avol nimna malah me erev yantif v'shochtinu b'chalkin b'neihem. But you can plan before yantif and just be mechalik it on Yantif, and get the meat on Yantif, split it between different parties, between different people who are buying it, but one is not allowed to express a price. My Ein Nimnim. So the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Poskin Damim Lechanchila Al Behema B'Yantif. One is not allowed to expressly agree on a price on Yantif. Rashi, what does Rashi say? Ein Poskin Damim. De Mekachu Memkar B'Shabbos B'Yantif Asur, B'Sefer Ezra. Because Mekach u'memkar is Asur on Shabbos and Yantif, as it says in Sefer Ezra, and then Rabbi Kiva Eger here, as he writes in a number of places, we have this also, a pasuk in Nehemiah will be called Ezra, by Rashi and by the Gemara, but that is what Rashi says, Ein poskin damim, based on Mekach u'memkar. If you look at the other Gilyon HaShas, he's alluding to the Rashi later on, in Beit Daf Lamed Zayin, where Rashi has two deos, why Mekach u'memkar is Asur on Shabbos. We're going to talk about these 2 days when we get up to it. But Rashi has 2 days. Why can't you do business on Shabbos and Yantif in a case where you're not violating Malachas? So I'm giving you something. I'm getting something. What's the difference? So Rashi there on Lamed Zayin Aleph, of course, 2 days. Number one, either it's Asur based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mimso Chefzecha V'Dabar Davar. Right, my dealings on Shabbos and Yantar should be different than my dealings on weekday. So business is a weekday activity. So that is one makar that Rashi quotes, Bim Sochav Sochav Adabar Davar in Shayahu. Number two, Rashi says, Gzeir Hashem Yechtov. Because usually when I do business, I record my buyings and my sellings. And therefore, Mekach u'memkar is Gzeira Shema Yechtov. So here, Rashi is quoting another pasuk, and a pasuk can say for Ezra, but really, the 2 days in Rashi are what's talked about over there. There might be nafkaminas between the two, whether it's based on weekday activities versus Gzeir Shema Yechtov. Is Matana included? What about just the Chalos Kinyan on Yantif and not the Maisa Kinyan on Yantif? So hopefully that's something that we'll talk about when we get up to that Rashi. But again, Rashi here just quotes this issue of Mekach u'memkar. That's why one is not allowed to expressly discuss a price. Hey Chiyav, so what should one do? So Amarav, maybe Shtei Behemah, so Mamidan Zui Talzu. What should one do? And let's add, what should one do? Because the Mocher is not going to want to give the animal to the Konim, to the buyers on Shabbos or Yantif, if he knows that they're not going to remember how much the animal was. They're going to eat the animal, they're going to cut up the animal, and nobody's going to remember what kind of animal it was. Maybe he'll lose money. So what do? So you take two animals. You take an animal that's similar to this one, and you stand them one next to each other. V'yomer zukazu, and they'll say, oh, this one's just like this one, and then they'll take one of them, and the other one will still be there, so they'll be able to remember how much it was. Tani nami hachi. Also the Brisa says, lo yomer adam l'chaveiro, hareini yimcha b'sela, hareini yimcha b'shtayim. What a person should not sell to a... say to a butcher, you know, I want a sella's worth of meat, or two sla'im worth of meat, because that's expressly saying a price, and well, now that's like business oriented. Avalom or law, what is he allowed to say? Hareini imcha lemechza v'lishlish l'rvia. You know, I want half or a third or a quarter of this animal, because that is different than what is usually done on weekday, and therefore it's not would not be a violation of mekach u'memkar on yantif. Okay, next Mishnah. So now the Mishnah, the Shilu Kubetzes writes that the order of the Mishnais are that we just had the one Mishnah that discusses behavior between a buyer and a seller. Now we're going to have a Mishnah that discusses the seller, and then the next Mishnah is going to have a case discussion of the buyer. So that's the flow of the Mishnais. So says the Mishnah on top. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shokil Adam Basar Keneged HaKli O Keneged HaKofetz. Says Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah in general, that weighing meat, weighing animals before I sell them is a weekday activity. So in order to make it yontiv dik, I have to do it in an unusual way. If I do my shikul, my mishkal, my weighing with a shinui, so then that would not be a violation of maisa chol or uvdin dechol. So what's an unusual way? So Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to put the meat on one side of the scale, and put a kli, put some type of utensil, a kofitz, a big knife, on the other side of the scale. That's okay, right? And Rashi says, because this is enough, because usually you don't do it this way. What do you usually do? Usually use weights. Usually use little weights that you have. So if you could use a kli, you could use something else. So then that would be okay. The Chachamim omrim, no. The Chachamim argue in our machmir, a mashkichin b'chapozayim kolika. The Chachamim say, no, you're not allowed to use the scale at all. Can't touch the scale. The Rambam says you can't even use it to the Pirush Rashi's here. You can't even use it to cover something. Meaning it's muksa. It's totally muksa. The Achronim say it's muksa machmas chesron kiss, and therefore you can't use the scale at all. That is the shita of the Rambam. Rashi here says the first words of Rashi tabach hamocher basar. Meaning the Mishnah is talking about a case of the butcher selling meat. Are you allowed to weigh meat at home in your own house? In order to know how much you're cooking, let's say you have a recipe, you have to know exactly how much the meat is. So, Achronim Rebedaik and Rashi, that yes, you're allowed to. The only reason that the Mishnah asers is because we're talking about a butcher. A butcher is uvdin dechol, and if he does it in the normal way, so that's why he, bedavka, has to make sure that he doesn't do it in the usual way. Tabach hamocher basar, Rashi says. But other people at home might be able to do it even without the shinuyim. So Michael Iker, says the Gemara, what are the Chachamim adding by saying, at all, you're not allowed to use the scale at all, Michael Iker, why don't they just say Oser? Why do they have this lashon of Kol Iker? So Amar Yehuda Rav Shmuel, afilu l'shamro min ha'achbarim. Even to take your meat, and you don't want the meat to get eaten by or bitten into by the achbarim, by the mice, and therefore you're going to put it in the scale just to have put it in a safe place. So even that you are not allowed to do. Amar Vidi Bar Avin, well, Malan Vu Detalia Betrita. That's only as long as it's still on the ring, where it's usually, let's say you have a scale. So you walk into a store, you have a scale hanging down from a hook in the ceiling. So that's where you're not allowed to put it in there, even if your kavana is to guard it from mice. Why? Because that's still going to be a zilzal. People are going to think that you're weighing it, you're putting it into the scale. But if it's on the floor, if it's not in this scale position where it's usually held, so then it's not a problem. It's not on the ring where it's usually held. But if it is, so then it's usur, even if it's just to guard it from the mice. The Mishnah Berurah, what he quotes, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, it's even tough kuf. That's where all these halachas are, it's even tough kuf. The Mishnah Berurah says, it must be, he says, even though this is not the pashtus, it must be that the only time it's going to be usur to put it on a scale is if there's something on the other side also. If there's just something on one side of the scale, so then they didn't have scales like we have, like just measuring scales. There's only one plate, but there were two scales. You have to two sides of the scale. So then the Mishnah Berurah pashtus, he thinks that it's only usur to put it on the scale if there's something on the other side of the scale. Ratzalomer ubekafa sheni mulach mishkalos. If there's nothing on the other side, then it doesn't look like you're weighing anything. But he realizes that nobody limits it in the Gemara. The pashtus of the Gemara includes everything, but he says misvara, it would make sense that it would be limited. Okay, continuing. V'yamar v'yudamar Shmuel. Again, all of these halachas are regarding changing one's regular behavior because of zilzul yantif. Amar v'yudamar Shmuel. Yantif might have looked different in the days when they used to go to the butchers on yantif. So nowadays it's so foreign to us that when you're making these changes, what does that have to do with us? But think about it. Think about, let's see, butcher stores used to be open because nobody else had refrigeration, and they had the animals, and they're going to shech the animals for you, and you're going to go get a piece of it on yantif. So it kind of looks like regular business activities. So Chazal said, you know what? We have to have precautions here. We have to make sure things are done differently so people remember it's yontif. Maybe they'll come to rites. Maybe they'll come to take the money. So you have to, in word and in action, Chazal said, you have to have all of these differences. Yeah, Alex, you had a question? Okay, let's continue. Have you ever reviewed the Meshmua? Tabach Uman Oster Lushko Basar Biyad. A butcher is not allowed to weigh the meat biyad. With their hand. What does the mean biyad? So Rashi here says it means to hold your meat in one hand and have another piece of meat in your other hand and to weigh it to see if they're equal. That's what biyad means here. That's what they're not allowed to do because that is that's normally done. The Rush here quotes Rashi and he says, it's Rashi from Rashi, what if you just pick up a piece of meat to weigh it? Just one piece of meat. You don't have anything in your other hand. Just one piece of meat. It sounds like from Rashi that that's okay. Because the only Isser, the Rosh of the Rod explained, according to Rashi, seems like you can't act like a scale. You can't have meat in one hand and put another thing in the other hand and weigh it. But mashma from Rashi that just having one piece of meat is would be okay. But the Rashi says, I don't think so. What does beyond mean? It means anything. You have a piece of meat in one hand. Now many people, if you have the experience, you could tell how much a piece of meat weighs just by lifting it up. My wife's a pediatrician, so she could pick up a baby and just say how much the baby weighs. You know, if you have the experience in knowing how much things weigh, so then you're used to it. So said the Rosh, he thinks included in this halacha of the Gemara is not just like Rashi says. You have a piece of meat in one hand and in the other hand, so you look like a scale. Nechshav kimoznayim. But even if you just have a piece of meat in one hand, the Amar Yudam Shmuel. Next halacha. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch in that machlok is passing like the Rosh. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir, that even if you just have a piece of meat in one hand, it's Shulchan Aruch in Tav Kuf, Sif Beis, is machmir. V'amar Yudah Meshmuel, Tabach Uman, Asur Lishkol Basar B'mayim. This butcher is not allowed to weigh meat in water. How do you weigh meat in water? So, Rashi explains that they used to be able to tell the weight of the meat by the volume of the meat. So if you put a piece of meat in the water and the water comes out, the displacement principle, so then you could tell by how much water was removed how the volume of the meat, and once you know the volume of the meat, you'll know the weight of the meat. So that, you're also, that's a type of weighing. You're not allowed to do that on Yontif, because that's a normal way of weighing. Other Rishonim say it's a little different. Other Rishonim say it means that you put a piece of meat in a bowl, and you see how much the bowl in the water, and you see how much the bowl sinks into the water. And that's how they're able to see how much the meat weighs. Either way, that is usur to do it, because that's the normal way of business activities. V'amar v'chi barashi, usur la'asos beis yad b'basar. You're not allowed to make a handle in the meat. What do you mean handle? This was the days before bags, right? So how do you get your meat home? You don't have a bag to put it in. You don't even have the general bags, right? You don't even have the specific bags with a store's name on it. So what do you do? So they used to make a hole in the meat. They used to carry it. So carry it, put a piece of hole in the meat. So you're not allowed to do that on Yontif, because again, that's a normal way of activity. That's how Rashi explains that they used to make these holes in order to be able to, for the lokeach, for the buyer, to carry it home. That's what Rashi here says. Rabbeinu Chananel, another Rishonim here, says it wasn't made for the lokeach, but it was just made for the mocher, for the buyer, for the seller himself to have it in his store in order to handle, right? Because you can't just handle a piece of meat without something to hold on to. So it was just for people in their own places for the mocher to be able to have it. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this machlokes about what the reason for the beis yad is and says there's an afkamina, whether it's for the sellers to take it home versus for the people themselves. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what about in your own house? Let's say you shechted a piece of meat for your own house. It's mashma miloshen zeh, says the Mishnah Berurah there in Tav Kuf Sivkat and Tesvav. Mashma dafilu balabayis laatzmo ein lalasos nekev abasar ashachar. From the Shulchan Aruch who says you just can't make a beis yad period, sounds like even somebody for his own home can't make it to hang it on his wall. Right, where they used to hang meat, they don't want to keep it on the floors. So he's going to hang it on the wall. But he says Yesh Mefarshim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rashi, Yesh Mefarshim, that the reason here isn't because it's a weekly activity in your own house to make the holes, but it's dafka for the lokeach, because you're going to make the hole for the buyer to take it home. That's the weekly activity. If that's the reason, then you can do it in your own house. You can make it in your own house to hang up. So Avol Yesh Mefarshim Deinu Rabbanan Merumel B'Katzav Shadarko B'Chol Lasos Nekev K'deishal Yochal Halokeach Lechos Shem B'Yado Lalicha L'Beiso. But if it's for your own home, maybe there wouldn't be an Isser at all. Okay, but that is in terms of making the holes in the meat for handles. Continues the Gemara. Amaravina Ubiyad Shari. But to make the hole, they used to fashion the holes with knives. So it was a nice, perfect hole. But what about just making the hole with your hand? Somehow, you know, making a hole in the meat with your hand, that's a very unprofessional hole, and therefore it would be mutter. Amar Rav Huna, mutter laso simen bebasa. Rav Huna says you're allowed to make a simen in the meat. What type of simen in the meat? Kiha derabba Rav Huna, mechatech lo atlas karnasa. He used to make a simen in the meat. Rabba Rav Huna always used to cut his meat in triangles. Why? So that people would know that it's his. Why do people have to know that it's his? Shirashi here quotes, let's say the mocher would sell a piece of meat, but he would give it to a shliach. He'd give it to a messenger to bring home to the people, right? They had delivery. They had delivery in those days, right? So let's say he would do that. People would want to know, you know, if it was still a good heksher. They wanted to see the double package. But they didn't have double packaging in those days. So what they do? So the butcher used to make his meat in such a way that everybody would know that it's his. So he used to cut the piece of meat in a triangle so that people would know that it's his. So you're allowed to do that on Yontif. That's regular, that's okay business practice. That's not dafka, something that is uvdi d'chol. The Tosas Rid says here that, he says, what do you mean? He used to make it in triangles. You know, so the messenger could also make it into a triangle. Right, if everybody knows triangle, so what's the big deal? The triangle is such a hard shape to make. So Tosas Rid says, I don't understand. Well, is it, if it's an issue of the shliach, quotes Rashi, he says, if it's an issue of the shliach being mischalif and switching, then why should that be the issue? They could also make a triangle. So he says, no. He thinks it's based on another halach in Yeradeya called basar shenis alim min ha'ayin. Halach in Yeradeya, hopefully we'll talk about one day, that meat that has disappeared from in front of you. So that halach is not just that people are going to change it, but also that animals, that ervim, that maybe there was a piece of meat left out, and maybe birds took it and put another one back. So obviously, by birds, we're not worried about they're making triangles. So says the Tosas Rid, that's what's going on here. The chash is the chiluf al yidei ervim, not chiluf al yidei people. So then, if you make it in a specific way, so then that would be enough. Interesting tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov. Yaakov Reischer quotes his Gemara in the following context. In the olden days, the shochet used to write, mark on the meat. They used to write on the meat, you know, either the name of the butcher or what day it was from, so people will know that it was fresh. So you had to do that marking on Yantif. That was the shaila that he got. Again, halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, you're allowed to mark on the meat. So what's the issue? The issue is ksiva. Ksiva, something hopefully we'll get to in a few weeks. Is there an iser of ksiva on this meat? So Aldavar Lichto Basakat Shal Basar Biyantif, he says, Nira Li Deshari. He thinks it's mutter, it's included in the heter of Ochal Nefesh. This is the Shvus Yaakov Beis Chavav. He thinks it's included. And he quotes our Gemara, that it says, mutter, lasso, simen, bet basar. You're allowed to make a simen in the basar. And then he says, it doesn't only apply to the making the shape of the basar, it must include also writing on the basar. And even though you might argue that that's making it, and here's there's a real ksiva besakin on the basar, he thinks no. He thinks there's no difference. It's still not regular ksiva, even though there's ksiva on, let's say if you write something on your arm. So that could be ksiva daraisa. That's cloth. Unless it's not miskayim. But either way, that could be ksiva. But he says it's not the normal way of ksiva. Uba ochel nefesh biyantif yishlahatir shlo nimneis bisimchas yantif. He says if you could be mishana, maybe write it in a little different way. But the Shvus Yaakov quotes this Gemara and says there will be no reason. There's no reason to say anything different when it comes to basar. Okay, let's continue. Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon, Rebbe Shoklin, Manakadeg, and Manabiyantif. Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, they used to weigh pieces of meat on Yontif. They used to put one piece of meat in one hand and one in the other hand, meaning they used to, let's say, buy an animal together, and they used to split it up and weigh it in their hands evenly to be able to split it up. Keman, lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, lo k'Rabbanan. So which Tana are these rabbis following? They allow that you let it pick up two pieces of meat. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, if they follow like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but ha'amar shokal adam basar, can I get a kli, can I get a kofetz, can I get a kli, in can I get a midi achrini lo. But what Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to weigh the piece of meat, can I get another kli? But can I get another piece of meat? That's normal practice. Normal practice is that you weigh meat to meat. Therefore, how could they allow that? Ik Rabbanan, and if they don't like the Rabbanan, ha'amrin imashkiach b'gabazim galikr. Rabbanan says, you can't even use a scale at all. So who are these rabbis following? So inu da'avik Rabbi Yeshua, they must be following the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, Titania, because the Brisa holds the third shita. Rabbi Yeshua omer shoklan mana kenegan mana biyantif. Rabbi Yeshua says you're allowed to do this weighing meat to meat on yantif. Amar Rabbi Yosef halacha Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yosef says halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. Why? How do you know? Hol v'tznan bebechoros kavase. Because there's a mishnah in Meseches Bechoros that supports Rabbi Yeshua. Ditznan, where's the Mishnah? So we got to learn a little bit new. Psuleh HaMikdashin, so the Gemara quotes only the last line of the Mishnah. Rashi quotes the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Look at the last skinny lines of Rashi. Rashi here quotes the whole Gemara. We know there's a concept called a carbon. What happens if a carbon becomes pasul? If a carbon becomes pasul, it's called Psuleh HaMikdashin. Psuleh HaMikdashin, a carbon becomes pasul. So what happens by Psuleh HaMikdashin? It is redeemed. It's sold and redeemed. And the person who buys it is allowed to use it with certain limits on his usage. He's not allowed to shear it. He's not allowed to work it. But he's allowed to partake of it. That's the halacha of Psuleh HaMikdashin. There is, though, two special Psuleh HaMikdashin. And that's Bechor and Meiser. a bechar behema, and meiser behema. Bechar given to the Kohen, a meiser, the Yisrael is allowed to eat as a karban in Yerushalayim. Bechar and meiser, two types of kache kala. What happens if bechar and meiser get a mum? They're puzzle. So there's a special puzzle that says they're not allowed to be redeemed. Special pasuk, they're not allowed to be redeemed in the normal way. So what happens? They have to be redeemed. They're sold, the Mishnah says, in private ways. They can't be sold on the regular marketplace. Why? Because it's a bizayon to sell regular karbanos that used to be karbanos in the regular marketplace. So bechar and meiser are not allowed to be sold in the regular marketplace. What's the difference? Why are regular karbanos allowed to be sold in the marketplace and not bechar and meiser? So explains the Mishnah, there's a big difference. Because by all other karbanos, you're going to sell it. Who's going to get the money? Who's going to get the money? The Beis HaMikdash is going to get the money. So if the Beis HaMikdash is going to get the money, so we'll forego our worry that you're going to sell this in the normal way because you're going to get a better price on the open market. There are more buyers. So therefore, even though it's a little zilzal to sell Psuli HaMikdashim in the regular shuk, on the regular scales, we'll allow it to be able to get the better price. But by Bechar and Meiser, who's getting the money? The Bechar, the Kohen's getting the money. Meiser, the Yisrael's getting the money. So if it's private money, Beis HaMikdash is not getting anything out of it. So then we're going to say, you know what, you can't sell this on the marketplace, you can't sell this on the regular scales. It's not right, so therefore you'll get a lower price. So what? But it's going to the person. That's the halacha. That's the background of the Mishnah. But the last line of that Mishnah says, even though by Bechar and Meiser, you're not allowed to sell it in the normal place, in the normal shuk, with the normal scales, but you're allowed to weigh a piece of meat. Can I get a piece of meat even by Bechar and Meiser? That's the last line of the Mishnah. Even though we're worried about the zilzal of this kachim, but you're allowed to sell meat to meat. Meaning, what does the Mishnah seem to say? That selling, weighing one piece of meat to another piece of meat is not a zilzal. Because after all, by Bechar and Meiser, you're not allowed to sell it in the regular shuk. You're not allowed to sell it on the regular scales. But you're allowed to do mana keneged mana, so it must be that that is not a zilzal. Ditznan, now let's read the Mishnah. Ditznan, psulei hamikdash, says the Gemara, regular karbanis that became pasul, hana'ah son lahektish. Their hana'ah, their money goes to hektish, and that's why you're allowed to sell it in the open markets. Unlike, because you're going to get the best price, unlike Bechar and Meiser, which the money is going to go to the Bailim, so that's why you have to sell it privately. The Shoklin, mana keneged mana, but the Mishnah does say you're allowed to weigh one piece of meat to the other piece of meat by Bechar, even though that's, isn't that a chash zilzos? The answer is not. It must be there's nothing wrong with that. So just like, and that's that and that Mishnah is stama, is an anonymous Mishnah in Bechoros. So just like in the Mishnah in Bechoros, when it comes to zilzal of karbanos, you're allowed to do this activity. It must be, says Rav Yosef, that we also hold that way in Hilchas Yantif. That in Hilchas Yantif also is not called a zilzal regarding on Yantif. Let me just do two more lines. Amar Leah Abaye, the Gemara says, no, maybe you cannot compare the context of dealing with karbanos and the context of on Yantif. Amar Leah Abaye, v'dom Elohi. Maybe you cannot compare. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only allows this activity on Yantif because you're not dealing with karbanos. By karbanos has a higher standards. That's why it's okay by Yantif. But maybe he would argue on that Mishnah and say that when it comes to karbanos, you're not allowed to do this of mana keneged mana. Inami or mi bechalik the opposite way. When do the Rabbanan allow it by karbanos? This activity only over there because it doesn't look like uvdin dechol. Why? Rashi explains that there you're doing a selling. When you sell something, you usually don't weigh meat to meat. So it's not usual to sell something weighing one meat to another piece of meat. Usually use something more specific. Use weights. Aval hacha the basic goes to dechol lo. But here by yantif you're not selling it. You're just being machalik, two pieces of meat between two individuals in order to see if it's even. So that's the normal way to do it, with a piece of meat to a piece of meat. So that's why you might say that it's a problem here. So either way, so the Gemara ends up saying, don't compare Hilchas Karbanos to Hilchas Yantif, and what's a zilzal by one might not be a zilzal by the other. Period. Yeah. So Rav Yosef is ignoring our Mishnah here, but he's ignoring it because that Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Here, it's Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim, and we have Rabbi Yeshua and Abraisa. So we have three Shitas. So the question is there any Stam anywhere? So he quotes a Stam from Bechoros, and we end up saying that.
But even this Mishnah of Achlokes,
even the Mishnah has a Shita the Chachamim.
They both agree against Rabbi
Yehuda. Both of these Shitas, so interesting, can you quote this Mishnah as an anonymous Mishnah against Rabbi Yeshua because they both argue with him? I don't know if that would be called a Stam Mishnah because it still has names in it. don't know if they'd be called a Stam Mishnah. Finishing up, the last few lines, the Gemara says, Lameimra, we just quoted a story before, but that Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Berevi split up the piece of meat, right? They weighed a piece of meat, and they made sure they got an equal amount. Says the Gemara, Lameimra, the Kapi Adadi, is this to say that they were makbid on each other, to make sure they got exactly equal? Right? What do you mean? We have another story that shows us that they didn't really care if somebody got more or less. V'ha'hani sheit benisei, there was a story of seven fish. To us, the Bei Rebbe, that Rebbe had got seven fish delivered. Fish takich chamesh minay Rebbe Rebbe Chiyah v'lo kabed Reb Shimon Rebbe. And Reb Chiyah ended up getting five of the seven, and we saw, no, that Reb Shimon wasn't upset about it. So what, I don't understand the story, asked the Gemara. Weren't these two people who didn't care if they got more than each other or less than each other? So Amar Papa, shadi gaver minay. Okay, you're right. There must be a different person in the story. Throw another person in between. E Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yossi, E Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ubar Kapar. So switch one of the players so that we're not talking about the same exact people. Some Achronim quote this Gemara. What happened here? So Rabbi's son didn't realize, right? Rabbi got seven fish delivered, and then all of a sudden five of them were taken by his friend, and all that he's realized, he's like, oh, it's okay. So there's a machlokas quoted in the Shach, the beginning of Simon Shin Nun Ches and Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchas Geneva. What's the machlokas? It comes up all the time. Are you allowed to take something from your friend that you know after you take it, he won't be machbid about it? But he doesn't know about it right now. It's kind of like a shol shalom midas. But you're not being shol, you're taking it. Let's say you know he has a bag of cookies. And you know that he'll let me have the cookies. He'll let me have the cookies, I know him. So are you allowed to take those cookies before he's there, knowing that when he comes back, you know, he'll let you have them. If he's let you have them 42 times in the past, so then we're not talking about that kind of case. Then there's already a chazaka that you've already asked him. But let's say you've never asked him, but you just know he's the type of friend that he will let you have it even without asking. So says the Shach, you're allowed to. He quotes the Hagos HaShri, that some Rishonim say he's not allowed to. Still, you have to ask. Comparing it to Yeish Shalom Midas, the Hagos HaShri quotes this, that's where the sugi comes up. Just like Yeish Shalom Midas, you can't pick something up, even though, we pass in Lo Havei Yeish, even though when you found something on the floor, even though the guy, when he realizes that he lost it, is going to have Yeish, but still you can't pick it up because you didn't have Yeish yet. So it says the Hagos HaShri, so to here. Even though you know when he comes back, he's going to let you have it, still you can't take it. And the Shach argues, the Shach there says that no, the beginning of Shimon Shinnun Ches, that no, you're allowed to take it. Don't compare it to Yeish. By Yeish, there's a problem. If he would know where it is, he wouldn't have the Yeish. So it's Shalom Midas. It's against his will. Here it's so much better. Here it's Dafka. If he would know about it, he would let you have it. It's not that he's trying to get it back. He doesn't want to get it back. So some Achronim quote our Gemara as a riot to the Shach. Why? Because what did our Gemara say? That Rabbi Chiya Berebi realizes the fish afterwards. Oh, okay. He doesn't say that Rabbi Chiya. Who's talking here? Who's the other Amora? Rabbi Chiya. Reb Chiyah didn't do anything wrong, right? The Chas V'Shalom Reb Chiyah would do something wrong. You see, he took it without the other person's knowing. So that could be a raya to that case. Okay, a little Choshen Mishpat in the middle of Maseches Beitzah. Masnisa, next Mishnah. As we said, the Shidduk Kubetzah said the first Mishnah talked about the Mocher and the Lokeach. The next Mishnah up above was about the Mocher. And now we're talking about dealing with the knife, which might also be the lokeach, meaning you bought an animal, and now you're going to deal with it at home. So says the Mishnah, Ein mashchizen asasachen biyantif. You're not allowed to sharpen your knife on yantif. Not allowed to sharpen your knife. Rashi says it's mechzi kimesakein. It's not actual daraisa, but it's like a malacha. You want to make it exactly sharp to be able to use, so you're not allowed to do that. Aval masia gabe charvata. You're not allowed to sharpen it in a sharpener. A hashchaza, a mashchezes is a real sharpener of a knife. But just to take two knives and go like this with it, one on top of another, that you are allowed to do. Parshas HaShavua says Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu turns to Esav and says, go bring me some meat, so I can give you a bracha. Sona kelecha tal yecha v'kashtecha. Right, so Yitzchak Avinu says, take your kli, take your kelecha, your knife, and your kalim. So what's sana? Rashi, Pirish Rashi, kamo. What's sana kelecha? Kamo d'tan in mashchiz and avam asin as the knife. So Rashi quotes our Mishnah, this week's parsha. You're not allowed to be mashchiz the knife, but masin. But Rashi says, what is sana that he should sharpen the knife? So says the Chassam Sofer, ulchara hayavaraya listor. What is Rashi talking about? Rashi says, sana kelecha, he should sharpen the knife, as the Mishnah says, in mashchiz and avam asin. What do you mean? But the Torah says masin. The Torah says it's not a hashchaz, it's masin. So what does Rashi mean? That's That how does Rashi know that Yitzchak is really telling Esav to be Masiyin and not Mashchizin? Masiyin is a lower level, as we'll see. Masiyin doesn't do as good a job as Mashchizin, one knife on top of another. You have to use a Hashchaza. So says the Taurus Moshe, says the Chassam Sofer, yeah? What? Was it Yantif? Okay, it was Yantif. So fine, it was Yantif. That's one shot that he was right there. The two Gdiyim. Shnei Gdiyim. Okay, that fits him. But he goes a different derech. V'yef Shalom HaKavadaso, it must be Yitzchak lo chashav la Esav she'echlanu b'shchita sak in pagam. Yitzchak told Esav was a tzaddik, right? So he wasn't choshein him that he had a knife that was pagam that he didn't get it ready beforehand. That couldn't be what was behind this question. Elo shechashash. What was the chashash? What are the three pesukim right before this whole story? His wives, right? And that's what made the Yitzchak's eyes blind because it was the smoke of the avodah zara. Elo shechashash. Kiva shenashav ovdos avodah zara. Efsha shavoso sak in shachtol avodah zara. V'ikam mishum shamnu nisa di isura. Maybe there's some oils and grease left over from the avodah zara on the knife, and that's enough to get off with this lower level of the masiyan. You don't need the hashchazas. So that's the pshat of sana kilecha. Daf uses sana because masiyan, because he wasn't choshed Yitzchak, he wasn't choshed Eshav that the knife wouldn't be good, because obviously he has good knives, he's a tzaddik. But it was just a problem of just getting off the grease, and that would be good enough just with two knives. Okay, so Rashi the Chassam Sofer on the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shana Al B'Mashcheze Shel Evan, Al B'Mashcheze Shel Eitz Mutter. Rav Huna says, the whole discussion in the Mishnah is only by a stone sharpener. That's what's Aser, because that's a real one that does the job. But Al B'Mashcheze Shel Eitz Mutter, but if you have a wooden sharpener, it would be Mutter, because that isn't Mesakein as much. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now we're going to have four versions. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel made a statement. We're not sure if he made the statement on the first half or the second half of Rav Huna's statement, or on the first half or the second half of the Mishnah. So we're going to have four different versions. What was his statement? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hada Amar Shalevin Aser, Lo Amar El Lachadada, Ava Lahavar Sham Nunisa Mutter. He made a statement that only sharpening is a problem, but just getting off the grease is not a problem. So when did he make that statement? So first the Gemara says maybe he made it on the first half of Rav Huna's statement. When Rav Huna said that you can't use a stone sharpener, that's only to sharpen it. But just to get off the grease, it would be mutter to even use a stone sharpener. Mashma that by a wooden one, which was the parallel, even to sharpen it would be mutter. That's number one. Version number two. Some say it's on the second half of Rav Huna's statement. B'shal eitz mutter. On a wooden sharpener would be mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel ha'da'amar b'shal eitz mutter lo'amar el ha'avar sham nunisa. When do we allow a wooden sharpener? That's only just to remove the grease. Avala chadada aser. But to sharpen it, even a wooden one, we would not allow. Michlada b'shal evan afil ha'avar sham nunisa aser. And that version is mashma that if it was a stone one, even just to get off the grease, it would be aser. Version two. Version three. Ika demasi la mas nisan. Some learn the statement to explain the Mishnah, where the Mishnah does not have a chiluk between stone and wood. It just has the chiluk between mashchizin and masin. Ein mashchizin is not going to be yantif. I'm reviewing the Mishmuel. Lo shana el lachadado. When do you say you're not allowed to sharpen only to sharpen? Aval havresham nisa mutter. But to remove the grease, you can use any sharpener. Michal da gabe chaver tafil lachadado nami mutter. That version would be mashma that if you just to do one knife on the other knife, even to sharpen would be mutter. Finally, number four, Ike Demasi La Seifa. Some learn it on the Seifa of the Mishnah. Ava Masiya Gabe Chaverta, when the Seifa of the Mishnah says you're allowed to do it knife on knife. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Loshana El Lahavar Sham Nunisa. That's only to remove grease you're allowed to do it knife on knife. Ava Lachada Da Aser, but to sharpen it would be Aser. Michada Mashchezes Afilu Lahavar Sham Nunisa Aser. That version is Mashma that by a sharpener, even just to remove the grease, would be Aser. Period. Four different versions of the Gemara. Next, new Gemara. Man Tana Dema Mashchezes Aser. Which Tana would hold that a mashchezes, you cannot let a sharpen a knife on Yantif. Amar Rav Chisda de Lok Rabbi Yehuda. This is against Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda holds, Ein Beino Yantif L'Shabbos El Ochal Nefesh Belvad. The Tanakama holds that what's the difference between Shabbos and Yantif? One of the differences, says the Mishnah Megillah, cooking. Ochal Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Af Machshibi Ochal Nefesh. This is the well-known Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows even the preparatory acts of Ochal Nefesh, Machshibi Ochal Nefesh, even those are Docha Yantif. He holds that by Shabbos also. You're allowed to sharpen a knife of Mila on Shabbos, for example. That's also Docha. Not only is the Mila Docha Shabbos, the Machshire Mila Docha Shabbos. But also by Yantif, he says not only is Ochal Nefesh Mutter, but even Machshire Ochal Nefesh is Mutter. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be allowed to sharpen the knife on Yantif. So this Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yehuda. Amar le, Rabba Rav Chisda, Dashina Mishimcha, like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi says, Rav Chisda, you know what? We heard in your name that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar le, he answers, yeah, Yehei Rabba, the kol, kihani, mili, maliyasa, tidushim, mishamai. Yeah, that's wonderful. All great things you should dashin in my name. Unlike the Gemara we had yesterday, where they asked from Rav Zeir, did you say this? He said, no, I never said it, but I think it. But here, today, we have the drasha that he said, did you say this? He says, yeah, I said it. All great things you should dashin in my name. The Rishonim, not here, but the Rishonim Daf Chav Beis, try to discuss, this Gemara sounds like the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. We had a Gemara earlier in Daf Chav Beis and Aleph, where the Gemara said, Beferish halachas not like Rabbi Yehuda. So how do you put the two Gemaras together? Tosas there gives two answers, the Rashba, many of the answers given, but we'll see, halacha l'maisa, we do pass them like Rabbi Yehuda, only by cases, though, of E.F. Shalassos, we bode Yom. But we'll see that as on the base. Amr Nechami Beredi of Yosef. I was in front of Rava. And he was wiping his knife on the rim of a basket. Why are you doing that? Are you doing that to sharpen the knife? Or are you doing that to get off the grease? I'm doing it to get off the grease. But I saw that he was really doing it to sharpen it. He wasn't being emistic with me. So v'ksavar, it must be that he held halacha ve'ein morin kain. So it must be, I said to myself, not that he was lying to me, but really, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that it's mutter. But by certain halachos, we don't paskin that way in public, because people aren't going to be as careful with the psak. So therefore, it's one of those halacha ve'ein morin kain. Similar story of Amar Abaya. Have given a kami demar v'havi kama aver sakina asif to derachia. I was in front of my master, and he was also wiping the knife on the edge of the mill, the hand mill. Why are you doing this? To sharpen it or to get off the grease? I'm doing it to get off the grease. And I see again that he was doing it to sharpen it. It must be that he was just doing it, that the halachi, passing like it's allowed, but he said you're not allowed to pask in that way in public. Period. We know that a shochet always has to check his knife. Yeah.
So what is the final
halacha? By Rabbi Yehuda, we didn't get there yet, but the final halacha is going to be that you're allowed to do machshirei ochal nefesh as long as it was impossible to have been done before yontif. That's how we're going to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to do the preparatory stages if it was something that you couldn't have done before yontif. Meaning,
if you
wouldn't have been able to do it before yontif, that's what we're going to say in the Gemara in a minute. But if you could have done it before yontif, then we say you're not allowed to do it. So, says the Gemara, we know there's a halacha that a shochet constantly has to check his knife. And we know even the Gemara in Chulin says that there was a type of, you know, agreement that once there was a new rav in town, so the shochetim had to show the rav the knives. Right? Give him that covet, that he was going to check the knives. So are you allowed to show a sakin, are you allowed to show the knife to a chacham anyantif? What's the potential problems? At least five or six opinions in the Rishonim. Maybe we'll mention two or three. Rashi here says, because if the knife is going to be shown to a chacham, the chacham might think that, hey, why is he shechting today? It must be because he's shechting, he's a butcher, he's going to shech a lot of animals, and he's going to go sell them. So it's really an extension of the gzeira of mekach l'memkar. According to Rashi, that's the Shaila. Because that's what appears. Why does he need the knife check? It must be that he's doing a lot of animals, which again, according to this, it would be mutter for a private person to go ask. That's not the Shaila here. That's the first thing. That's Rashi. The Rambam says it's a gzeira that if you get back a bad psak that your knife is no good, you're going to go sharpen it. So it's a gzeira shema yashchis. That's what the Rambam here says in Hilchos Yantif. The Bahag, quoted in some Rishonim here in the Ran and the others, the Bahag says, no, it's just a gzera, similar to like gzera the Rabbah. If you do this, you might go to carry it, michutz l'tchum, to go get it sharpened. Or to go get a new one. Again, chashina chutz l'tchum. Those are three, at least three, there are more. Those are three ideas behind this question. But anyway, you ought to get your knife checked on Yantif. Is it near a kimisakin? The Baal HaMor says near a kimisakin. Okay? You push me, I'll say another one. Right? So the Baal HaMor says near a kimisakin. That's that's his day. Okay. So Rav Mari, Bere Durav, Bizna Shari, Rabbanan Asri. So Machlokas, Rav Yosef Amar, Tamar Chacham Ro, La'atam Mashil Acherim. Oh, this might be where Rashi got it from. Rav Yosef says that a Tamar Chacham is allowed to check his own knife and then lend it to others once he has decided that it's okay. But he's just not allowed to go ask a Rav. So again, you'll have to work out the reasons, according to each one, why that would be okay. V'yemer Rav Yosef. Sakin sh'amda mutav l'chazda b'yantif. Rav Yosef said a knife that was amda. What does amda mean? It got a little dull. It does not mean that it's totally bad. You're still able to use it, but it got a little dull, so then that you're allowed to sharpen on yantif. Why? Because That is something that you wouldn't have thought of before Yontif. This relates to Alex's question. If the knife was totally pagum, then you can't sharpen it on Yontif because you should have checked it before Yontif. But a knife sometimes gets dull over time, and you didn't know. So if it got a little dull, you'll have to sharpen it on Yontif. V'yani mili t'apaska agabduchka. And that's only if you're still able to use the knife, if you really push down hard, but you don't want to, so that's why you're allowed to sharpen it. If it's impossible to use this knife, it got a real pagima, got a real bump in it, so then you would not be able to do it, because that's a real tikkun. Darshav, because if you tame Rav Yosef, echad sakat shdifkama, whether a knife got broken, vechad shvut shenirtsam, or whether a spit used for a barbecue, also got ruined, vechad grefas tanavikirayim, biyantif, or whether sweeping out your oven, the inside of the oven that got a little ruined on yantif, banan lamachlokas of Yudiv Rabbanam. So all these cases are examples of machshiri ochel nefesh, and this would be the machlokas being reviewed in the Rabbanam. The Tanya, the Baraita says, ain't biyantif l'shabes ochel nefesh bovad. The Tanakama says that only actual ochel nefesh is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda matir, af machshiri ochel nefesh, and Rabbi Yehuda allows no, even preparatory stages is mutter. So we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, limited way. We bought like Rabbi Yehuda by Efshar Lassos Mibod Yom. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, no, even if it was Efshar, it would still be Mutter. My time at the Tanakama, Omar Kra, well, we'll see in a second whether that what I said was true. That's what some Rishonim think, but maybe it's not so true. My time at the Tanakama, so what's the reason for the Tanakama that he only allows Ochal Nefesh and not Machshiri Ochal Nefesh? Omar Kra, Hu Levado Yasa Lachem, Hu Velo Machshirav. Only he, Hu Levado, only it is allowed actual ochel nefesh and not its preparatory stages. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kro Lachem Lachem Lachol Tzarcheichem. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Lachem is an inclusion. Everything for you, all your needs, even machshirin. But Tanakama Haksiv Lachem. The Tanakama who has the limit. What does he use the pasuk of Lachem for? Or Malacha Hahu Lachem Velo Lanachrim. You're allowed to cook for yourself, but you're not allowed to cook for non-Jews on Yontif. V'idach Nami Haksiv Hu. Aye, what does Rabbi Yehuda use Hu for? Isn't that a limit? So here it says he holds ksiv hu v'ksiv lachem. Even Rabbi Yehuda might have a limit. V'lokasha kan ma'machshir she'efshal asosim erev yantif kan ma'machshir she'efshal asosim erev yantif. So according to the girsa of our Gemara, even Rabbi Yehuda only allows machshirin that are e'efshar to do from before yantif. But that is generally how we pass it. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda by e'efshal asoso mi'bodyo. There's a lot to talk about machshirin, but we'll continue a little bit more. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel shvud she'nirtzav. Let's say a spit did not get broken, but it just got a little bent out of shape. But it's still usable on Yantif. Also, l'sakla b'yantif, that you're not allowed to fix on Yantif, because it's tircha yaseira, because you're able to use it right now. So therefore, you're not allowed to fix it. Pshita, okay, it's obvious, if it's tircha, because it's usable. Lo tzricha d'avagav d'misha b'yadeh. No, the chiddush is, even if you can just make it straight with your hand, still, that is still aser. V'yam rav yudam ha-shmuel, shpud shetzolo babasar osatal d'b'yantif. Shmuel says, a spit that you roasted meat on it, after you use it, you're not allowed to move it. It becomes muksa. The Rashba here has a couple of opinions. Why is it muksa? So, klisha machta laheter. Why is it muksa? Maybe it's muksa because it's muksa machmas mius. Maybe it becomes disgusting. Maybe it loses its shame kli afterwards. It's not even a spit anymore. But either way, he has a couple of opinions. Why it becomes muksa? What type of muksa? But either way, he says, you're not allowed to touch it. Rav Abba Bar-Abba or Rav Malkiyo. Rav Abba Bar-Abba's quotes from Rav Malkiyo, who says, Shom to manicha b'keren zavis. You're allowed to take it and move it with tiltul min hatsad, Rashi quotes, like with your elbow, with your foot, and put it into the corner. So even though it's muksa, you're allowed to move it in an unusual way. How does he have any different? Because a pot is still a pot.
That was me.
So even if it's, you're right.
The soup on Friday night,
in a chinami. In a chinami. If it's a pot that is similar, but it still has a shame pot, so then it's similar to muksa machmas mias. You're allowed to put it away somewhere so that that it's out of your way. Amar of Chiyabarashi, Amar of Uruhuna, Vusheish Lav Kazayis Basar. You're only allowed to move it, as long as it has a little piece of meat on it still, so then it's not totally muksa, but it still has a piece of meat, so that's why you're allowed to move it. Ravine, in the unusual way. It sounds like from this line that if it doesn't have a piece of meat on it, you can't even move it with Tiltum Anatzad, which is a Chiddush. Ravina Amar, Avabisha Eina La Basar, Mutala Tautala. Ravina says, even if it does not have any meat on it, you're allowed to move it. Me did the Havia Kozbir Shazarabim, similar to anything dangerous in Rosh Hasharabim. Somebody might get hurt by a thorn in Rosh Hasharabim, even though it's muksa, you're allowed to move it. So do this. If there's a spit lying around, somebody could get hurt on it, somebody could trip on it. So therefore, you'd be able to move it. One of the lines that we just had was a line from Rav Malkiyo. Rav Malkiyo said you're allowed to throw it into the corner in an unusual way. Or tiltum anatzad. So now the Gemara quotes what it quotes any of the six times in Shas where this is quoted. We have three statements from Rav Malkiyo and three statements from Rav Malkiyo. Sometimes we're not exactly sure who said what. So the Gemara says, Amar Avchina Breid Rav Ika, Shbud, which is our case, Shvachos Vegumos, Ramakio. There's two other lines, not for us now. Rashi quotes all the Gemaras. These three statements were made by Ramakio, Blurius, Efer Makla, Vigvina, Ramakia. Three other statements were made from Ramakia. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa had a different version. Masnisa nu Masnisa Ramakia. Any Mishnah or Brisa was said by Ramakia. Shmaitza, any just stam statement, Ramakia was said by Ramakia. And then what's the difference? The Gemara will say in a second. V'simaneich, how do you remember that Rav Malkiyo said the Mishnah? Masnisan Malkasa. Right? Mishnahs were said by the Melech, the king, which is Rav Malkiyo. Maibinayhu. Yigamana Shvachos. The only one that changes is the case of Shvachos, which we're not going to get into. It's a case of Mesechus Ksubis. If a woman brings in a certain amount of Shvachos to the marriage, does she still have to do work? Either way, these are the six statements made by Ramakio and Ramakia. The Gemara quotes different Mesoras who said what. Okay, we'll stop here. And everybody have a good Shabbos. We'll continue, Be'ez Hashem, with the fourth parak on Sunday. Fourth parak on Sunday. We get into Mutav Shei Shogin V'al Yimazidin. It's a big sugya on Beis Daflam.